You know, sometimes you, when you preach a little bit, sometimes you know when, like, your stand's knackered. But never mind. Sometimes you just know when the Lord's there. So, listen, tonight, it's not going to be all theology and all that. I'm just going to talk to you from my heart, from my own journey, I think, which isn't, to be quite frank, one of victory or pride or anything else. I'm literally stood here thinking, and I have been for the past couple of days, how on earth can I stand here and talk about praying for people on the street and all that stuff? But I'm going to anyway. So I'm just drinking my coffee. So a couple of days ago, I was in Billingham Town Centre, and I was in Billingham Town Centre, and I kind of was walking through the town, and I've got my eyes open, spiritually as well as physically, which I have a lot lately, and I'm walking, and as I kind of walk, I see this old guy walking with this walking stick in the town. He's walking, and then he stops. I see him stop, and so I kind of stare at him. I'm thinking, oh yeah, I should pray for him. I walked off. I turned around, watched him stop again. I stood there and I thought, you know, I should go and pray for him. So I kind of hesitated, and I stood there. I was preparing this word, actually, and then I looked at my pad, read the pad, waited, and he sat down. So I kind of walked over to him where he was sat and sat down next to him. Started having a conversation with him, how you doing, talked to him, and, you know, listened to him, telling me about Thatcher and all this different stuff. And in the end, you know, I just said, look, I'm going now, but, you know, I can just pray for you and pray for your back. He had arthritis in his back, his knees, different stuff. He was 86. So I prayed for him and said, see you later, you know, Tommy. Bless you, mate, you know. Oh, thank you, son, and all that. I walked off. The thing is, I don't know if Tommy got healed. I don't know if Tommy's arthritis has gone. I don't know if there's any difference. But I just wanted to start off this talk with some reality. That's reality. I've watched video after video after video after video after YouTube video and DVD video and the Finger of God video and all these different videos. And all of them show you the good stuff, the stuff where it works. They don't show you the other stuff, where it doesn't work, where it's just a conversation. And so I just want to start off tonight by saying this very simply. It's this. You don't always see healings, but what you can't also underestimate is the impact that touch has on that person. You know, that person said to me, Tommy, you know, smile on his face, he's there. See your son, but all of a sudden he's a bit blessed. I'm not saying he was saved. I'm not saying I preached the gospel to him. I'm not saying that. I'm well aware of the danger of that. I'm well aware through watching these videos how people believe it's okay to just walk up, hug a hoodie and do all that stuff, and that's okay because they've been kissed by Jesus and it's enough, and they walk off and say nothing else about it. It's wrong. That's not the right attitude, actually. You know, I've looked down all these different avenues and they're all wrong in their own little way. There's only one way. It's the way of the Bible. It's the way of the disciples. It's the way of Jesus. And it's always about encountering him, the gospel, the power, all of it in one gambit. But, you know, it might be a long bit. It might be a small bit. So I just want to talk to you about me and then a little couple of things I've learned. And so basically, starting this journey off for me, when I got saved in Omaha's prison, it was like I can only explain it. Like lighting a firework off in a prison cell. That's what it was like. So I'm stuck in this jail cell 24 hours a day or whatever else. And I was just exploding all over the jail. But I couldn't get out of the walls. And initially, because I had no one coming in, I had no church, I had no one around me. I didn't have people telling me how to live, how to act, how to do anything. All I knew is God was real. He didn't like sinners. And if you're a sinner, you're going to go in hell. That's all I knew right then. And so I remember my first initial things of evangelism, if you want to call it street evangelism, that was my streets. You know, I've got this lad, Gary, in a cell, talking to him about God, how awesome God is. And then within like 2 minutes, I was like, you're a sinner. You're going to burn in hell, man. You know, after 5 minutes of this, I'm not kidding you, this guy legged it out of my cell. And there was a guy called Tony Mann there with me. I don't know if any of you ever met him, but man, he was hardcore than I was. And he ran up the stairs and he stopped on the middle shelf, like the middle steps. And he looked at me and he said, you can't speak to people like that, man. It's wrong, you know, it's wrong. And then he ran off. But he was ashen white, you know. I think I terrified him. But what I'm trying to say is that was my initial 101 evangelism. It was that, you know, that raw. And so I went through jail doing a bit of stuff where I could. And I got out of jail. I got released. I'm kind of living around here and doing little bits where I can, trying to tell people about God, telling my story a little bit, you know, glorifying your past a little bit. But I had a bit of a hunger in me. I had a bit of stuff to let people know about God, to let people know about Jesus, that he was real, because that's all I knew. All I knew was Jesus was real and he changed people's lives. And so, you know, I did little things. I remember once walking past this car, big car place, and after walking past it a couple of days, I thought, I'll go in. So I went in, talked to the guy, I'm a Christian and all that, and talked to him and ended up praying with him. But little bits all the time, just trying to do little bits, getting battered, getting defeated, but trying to do bits. But not really doing anything effective. And then we did this massive prayer thing in this group I was involved with back then, a load of young people. And we did 24/7 prayer for about a week or something. And in this prayer room we had, there was all these books and DVDs, and one of them was like Wigglesworth. And I sat there in this prayer room on my own, watching this stuff about Wigglesworth. And all of a sudden, I'm seeing it. I'm hearing it. You know, I'd known Graham by now. I knew Graham's fibre optic nerves had been healed. I knew all this stuff. But as I sat listening to Wigglesworth stuff and this George Stormont talking about him and the things Wigglesworth said and the way Wigglesworth lived, it was like God was speaking to me. I've still got the pages I've written down. I mean, 9 years ago or something now. And I was writing it down. It was like God was talking to me and challenging me. This is doable. You can do this stuff. You know, he'd sit on the top of these steps, for instance, that were like 100 steps. Wigglesworth used to go and sit there. And he'd sit on the top, on this bench, and people would walk up to the top of the steps and they'd be knackered and they'd be like, they'd be bent over, and he'd sit there and he'd say, you ready to die yet? And then he'd get them on the bench and talk to them, and he talked about how he literally have we got any more of these anywhere? How he literally got a couple who were arguing at the top, sat either side of him, loved them, blessed them, and how they kind of got sorted out, and how he was sat in trains and he was just sat there. And in the midst of being sat there, people start confessing their sins and all this different stuff. How other times he's praying in a meeting and someone walked in with a big tube in the neck and he'd said to him, you know, what's that for? And he said, it's where I eat. I eat through this tube, you know, so I can't eat anything here. So he undoes all the bandages and he takes this tube and he grabs hold of it and he grabs the neck and he pulls this tube out of the body and then he pinches the skin together like that where the hole is. And he says to the man, now watch this. You're never going to see that hole again. And when he moves his hand, it's healed. He says, now go home and eat some meat and potatoes back then. And so the guy comes the next day and he says, I want to tell you, I went home last night and I told my mum to cook me some meat and potatoes. And I ate it. And I was frightened. And as I took the first mouthful, it didn't hurt. And Wigglesworth said, what are you telling me for? I already knew. Tell them. So what I'm saying is all of a sudden you see these possibilities. There's these people that are up there doing this stuff. And he wasn't just doing it from a platform. He was doing it in his everyday life. So all of a sudden then there's a kind of call, if you want, in me. There's something there in me. I'm walking about a bit more. And I start seeing it and visualizing it and knowing it can happen, but not doing it. Oh, I've seen people walking, but not doing it. And it went that way for a long time, spiritually, my life's up and down. 1 minute I'm Wigglesworth. You know, the next minute I'm Barabbas. That's how I was. I was all Holy Spirit, awesome, and then absolutely dark in sin for years, just like that, you know. And then one day, after getting told off at my old church, I went to this conference, and it was all the AOG churches in England were at this conference. And this guy got up called Dave Carr, Dave Carr is a Free Baptist minister. It's irrelevant, really, but that's what he was. And he stood on this stage, hundreds of AOGs, Assemblies of God, Pentecostal people, that's what they are. And he says to them, "You're not Pentecostals, you're Pentecostalists." I'm sat in this crowd thinking, that's fighting talk. You know, you've just insulted a whole denomination. And I'm waiting for like the president to stand up at the back or wherever he was to say, "How dare you get off this stage?" My pastor at the time, I was waiting for him, but no one muttered a word. They're all laughing. And I sat there and I thought, wow, he's telling the truth. And then he goes on to say, Pentecostal people aren't people who just live under a name. They're people who move and act in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And he wanted to display those gifts. He was preaching, he was funny. And in the midst of the laughter, bang, this hammer come down. "You love us, you're back. Bang, be healed now." I mean, it was phenomenal. It wasn't show off. He was just displaying what a Pentecostal person was. And in the end, that's what he was saying to him. "You're not Pentecostals, you're Pentecostalists. You're Pentecostal by name, not by nature." That was a challenge. I took that up and I thought, you know what? I want to be that. I want to do that. And so it got a hunger in me. I went hungering and searching for more of the Holy Spirit. I went to Wigglesworth's 100-year anniversary at Sunderland, thinking if I went where he went 100 years ago, something would happen. I'd get blasted in the Holy Spirit. I went there. I was on fire. I was buzzing. I was all over the place. I started going on this mission. I come up. I'll take a week off work. I'm going to do a mission. I went to Sunderland on my own. I was going to stand and preach the gospel in Sunderland. I got there, completely bottled it. Thought, right, I'll do it in Hartlepool. Bottled it. In the end, I just went on the beach in Seaton, you know, wounded and battered. But I was like, God, use me to change my generation. All this stuff, because it's all in your heart. And I'm still going on, seeing things. But you know what? Then I started doing some stuff with Martin and Stu. We did gospel nights in Billingham, different places. And I'm seeing, and all of a sudden, he was about to preach one night, Martin. Before he preached, he said, "Listen, before I preach, anyone need healing?" I was like, flipping heck, can't do that. You preach first, you know. Anyone need healing now? Bang, 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 people are up. Yeah, yeah. People are just getting healed. I thought, wow, I've got to do that. And so I was preaching at Redcar Church, this little church in Redcar. And I was preparing this word, my old theological words. And I fell asleep doing it. And as I woke up, when I woke up, literally, my face on my Bible, I remember lifting my head up. And as I lifted my head up, I saw this verse. You know, he healed the blind man. Why couldn't he heal his friend Lazarus? And as I read the word blind man, all of a sudden, this wheel started. Blind man, blind man, blind man, blind man, blind man. In my head, I was smoked at the time. A blind man. That mean blind man, blind man. All of a sudden, God's speaking to me. There's someone there who's got a blinding pain in their eye. It comes off and on, off and on, off and on. It's been there for years. So I wrote it down. It's a word of knowledge. Wrote it down. Someone's got a blinding pain in your eye. It goes off and on. You've had it for years. And then go to the front door. I'm having a cigarette. You know, God still loves sinners, doesn't he? I'm having this cigarette. And as I'm stood there, next door's alarm's going off, but there's no sound. Oh, yeah. Smoking this fag. Don't smoke, by the way. But I was smoking this cig, and then all of a sudden, I thought, you know what? There's someone who has panic attacks, anxiety attacks. The alarm's going off in their life all the time, but nobody knows about it. So that night, the next night, I was going to Redcar to preach. As I was driving down the motorway here, one of the signs on the road was greyed out, and then it said, oh, it's a left eye. So I went that night. I mean, this is how you live on the edge, isn't it? I went that night. I'd seen it done. And I said, right, guys, before I start, I've got some words of knowledge. Now, I tell you, it was one of the scariest things I've ever done. Because all of a sudden, I've just started preaching pretty much. If I'm completely wrong about this, and they all go, no, don't know what you're talking about, I've then got to preach a whole message with them all sat there thinking, what an idiot. Don't even know what he's talking about. And then the devil yapping in my ear. You know, you're useless. So I said, someone in here, you got a blinding pain in your left eye. You know, it might be your other eye, I was doubting myself, but it comes off and on, and you've had it for years. Who's that? And no movement. I was like, oh no, what have I done? But then literally, you're waiting in the silence. But then all of a sudden, this hand come up. I was like, hallelujah! I was. And I was like, yeah. You know, like I knew it. And I said, there's also someone here with anxiety. No one knows it is. You're not going to come forward and all that. But listen, here's the reality. That guy got healed that night. He'd had an accident at Chorus 20 years before. A bit of metal had gone behind his eye and scarred his eyeball. He literally got healed and the pain never came back. It was Jimmy. No, Jimmy. Ruth's husband. And the pain never came back. And a year and a half later, he had an operation. They took his eyeball out. And they said you could see a scar on his eye, but it was completely healed. So, and then this other woman came to me 2 weeks later who'd been suffering anxiety, panic attacks. She was healed. It was gone. So loads of stuff started happening. So what I'm saying is all of a sudden, after years of trying and praying for the sick and doing all this stuff and having no power, nothing, stuff starts happening. You know, I'll go to a church in Ryup. I'm speaking, I get this thing about spiritual stuff. There's some spiritual stuff here, da, 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 da. It's in line with like tarot cards and all that. Oh yeah, 6 months later I go back. 6 months ago I brought a word to you. Tarot cards and all that, who was it, you know? It's still there, still there. Now people are thinking you're a cocky upstart, you know, but it's the Lord. Who is it? Do you know what, you can receive this word or not? But there's no point in me preparing a word and coming here if you're not going to receive it. It was all that, right? But anyway, this woman gets up. This is a church of about 15 people. She gets up, and I was praying for her 6 months before. Is it this, love? Is it that, love? Is it that? No, no. Is it this? No. There's something else. What is it? What is it? Oh, is it my husband? I don't know what it is. And in the end, I said, look, I don't know what it is. Let's pray for all of it. You know, praying. And she came out the front. A couple of others came out. But she said, you know, 6 months ago when you were praying for me, did you know what it was? Now, in that moment, I've got a choice to make. I can say yes, right? And her say, well, you were wrong. You were wrong. Or I can just be honest and say, well, no, not really. But I didn't think it was what we were praying about, which is what I said. And she said, well, I want to tell you something. 7 months ago, my mum died. And I went to a spiritualist, a medium, to speak to my mother because I missed her so much. So what I'm saying is all of a sudden you switched on. You switched on. Bang, something breaks, you know. And it's awesome. And you're buzzing and you're getting used and you're doing different stuff. But in one sense, you're still not seeing all the things you want to see. This is all in a church. It's all in a nice little building. People are coming to receive it in a church. There's faith, all that's there. But the stuff on the streets, the stuff I wanted to see deep down inside, that wasn't really going on too much, you know. I didn't see anything really, if I'm honest. You know, I was just battered and defeated. And then, you know, we start the church. We start the church. It's awesome. It's phenomenal. We're seeing mighty stuff going on, healings going on. You know, you're at the front doing all this stuff, but again, it's all in-house. And then last year, we went to Reinhard's conference for that week. When we were there, that Todd White's there. You've probably all heard of him. I don't know if you have or you haven't, but it's irrelevant, really. But this guy was walking the streets, doing the healings, doing the stuff on the streets, encountering people, blessing them, praying for them, prophesying, getting words of knowledge in the flesh every day, wherever he went. And I sat there, thought, wow, if he can do it, I can do it. And so that was it. All of a sudden, I'm walking about all over the place. Who needs healing? I'm trying to G myself up and do it. And I remember being in a shower and God saying to me, why are you trying to work yourself up? Why are you going on like you don't know what you're doing? You've been doing this for years. This is what God said to me. And all of a sudden, I started looking at about my life. And I had been doing it. Just differently, you know, doing different things. I had been encountering people, speaking to people. I'd met alcoholics on the streets in Stockton and gone with them where they lived in this place called the Glass House in Stockton. I started doing Bible studies and stuff. I've done all this stuff, you know. I have been on the streets. I do go on the streets and I had done all my life. I just hadn't seen it. But then God started showing me you're doing it all. But it still didn't matter. I still thought I need to know more stuff. So this is when I start watching everything. I've got this fire in me now. I've got this in my belly. There's something missing in my life, and it's this. It's this outworking of God, not in this building, but outside, which was in me. And so I start watching these people, looking at them. I go to the restaurant in Middlesbrough, Fellini's, right? You've got to be careful what you watch, right? But I've been watching a lot of Todd White, and this woman in the restaurant come up to me. The first thing I did was done something in one restaurant, and the woman's like, yeah, I'm an atheist, whatever, love. I was like, all right. But I said this, hey, you know, and in American accent, I think, as well, you know, what's your name? And she said something, I'd said, you know, God thinks you're awesome. Yeah. She's like, yeah, whatever. I just walked off. I was like, what? It works for him. Why not me, you know? And as I turned and looked, Stella's right in front of me. She's looking at me. And she shook her head. And she went, what are you doing? I was like, what do you mean? She said, what are you trying to be in for? I said, I'm not. What you're talking about, you know? She said, just be yourself. And all of a sudden, I thought, you know what? I actually talk to people normally. I do. If I'm just in somewhere, I'll just talk to them. But what I'm saying is, I started looking at these people and what they did and thought I needed to replicate that to be effective. And so I went through all that, right? Well, I'm not going to watch Todd White anymore. But all of a sudden, I start watching someone else. I'm reading John Wimber's book, Power Evangelism. I'm reading about all the stuff. I'm reading the other book, you know, Across the Room and all these awesome things. But the reality is, I was filled up with all this knowledge, you know. But it was like, what's going on? And in the end, it was like, I need to start just doing some stuff. And so I ended up going out with Same last year for an hour. We met, Same thought we were just going to chat, but I said, you know, where are we going? Because that's what I thought we were meeting for. And we saw five people saved in an hour. I'd never seen five people saved in my Christian life. In an hour, five saved. Every person we spoke to, bar one person, gave their life to Christ. I was like, wow, you know. And all of a sudden you're going about, you're doing things, you're praying at work, you're praying in the gym, you're praying for different people, and things are going on. And it was going okay for me, to be honest. But then what happened was I had this dream, and in this dream, which I don't have many, I saw this guy in a wheelchair getting healed, right? So the next day, Stella says to me, do you want to come shopping with me? I didn't want to, but I thought, I've had this dream last night, but there's going to be someone in a wheelchair in an Aldi, I'm going to pray for them, they're going to get healed. Anyway, go to Aldi, have a guess what? There's a guy in a wheelchair. Like egging myself on. Walking about, right, yeah, I'll pray for him. It's scary, you know, if you haven't done this. It's really scary. I'm going to pray for him. I'll walk around this aisle now, and then I can come on, head on to him, you know. Right, mate, how are you doing? What's happened, you know? Oh, no. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. I'm a Christian. Last night I had a dream. I prayed for someone in a wheelchair. The lad's got a heel. Could I pray for you? Yeah, all right. His wife and his daughter run off. Literally. Pray for them. See you, mate. Walked off. Next thing, we've took the shopping out. I've come back in, and I've heard his wife and his daughter just laughing. Oh, I didn't know where to put my head. I didn't know what to do and all that. I was like, oh, nah. And then all, you know, I got back in the car now, Rebecca said, oh, do you hear what he said, Dad? I said, no, what did he say? He said, oh, that was a effing waste of time, wasn't it? Nothing's happened there. I was like, bang. It just destroyed me. And for months, then I just did nout. I just lost all confidence, all everything, you know. And so it just killed me off, kind of. And that's been partly my kind of little journey, all right, which is what I want to talk to you about, which is where I'm kind of at today, is just over the last couple of weeks, getting back on the arse, I suppose, and doing some stuff. The truth is, it's been a learning process all the way. I just haven't known it. I had to look at everybody else's way of doing this stuff to understand my own thing. I don't just want to copy Bill Johnson because Bill Johnson looks cool and makes it all cool for Bethel. Because that's all right. And it's an all right way of doing things. But they do nothing with the gospel, which, to be quite frank, isn't me. It's so easy. I've done it. I want to tell you the truth here. I've done this around Billingham. And I did it for weeks in Billingham, walking around. Hey, man, God loves you. You're so awesome. Let me just pray for you, man. Yeah, yeah, I just see you. You see your arts. I see all this stuff. I see all this goodness in your life. I just see you're creative. Yeah, all that. I've done all of it. Do you know what effect it had? Zip. Nothing. It felt good. It felt awesome. It felt like people were being blessed and I was blessing them and they knew God more. But it had no effect whatsoever. It was just me kissing the world in love, in a sense, which is all right. But you go on YouTube, there's a guy, Buddhist. There's another guy who's a different thingy. There's a guy who's just a humanist. And they all have got these web shows doing random acts of kindness all day for everybody. That's what it is. Let's be Christians and do Christian love acts. Oh no, that's normal human being love acts, that. Let me pay you petrol for you. Pay it forward. You've heard of that film, haven't you? It's not a thing. We don't do the same as what the world does. See, if I go and pay for your petrol at the pump and you go to the petrol pump, you know, to pay for your petrol, and I've left a little card saying random acts of kindness, Jesus loves you. Do you know what? It's awesome. But you could do that whether you believed in Jesus or not. You might just believe in being nice. But you know what the world can't do? The world can imitate everything we do, but the one thing it can't imitate is the gospel. It cannot imitate that. It can't copy it. And that's why it's so unique and so important to what we do. So I'm not saying what them guys do is bad. I heard Todd say, at Reinhard's thing, and I've heard his mentor say it in all of them. You know, we go and we bless people and we walk away. They don't even know our names. We've not sold them. We've not got them to pray. We've not done any of this stuff to them. We're not charging them for them getting healed, essentially, what they say. We just leave that to God and we walk off. Now, loads of people at that conference were like, yeah, awesome. But in my mind, I remembered 6 years before that, Martin telling me a story of when Margaret had prayed for that little boy whose leg was limp and they couldn't walk. And he's healed and he walks into that surgery. But how that little kid with blonde hair runs down their street every day, past them on the way to school. And that family is as far away from God as they ever were. Which told me, actually, Todd, you know what you're saying is all right. But I know a guy, you've only been saved 7 years, Todd. I know a guy who prayed for someone 7 years ago and is still far away from God. So there's no truth in what you're actually saying. It doesn't mean people are going to be called in because of the act of kindness and the act of love. You do need the gospel. It's important. All right, that's what all I'm saying. So I've had to learn all this stuff. I've had to go through all this stuff. I've had to be battered with all this stuff. I've had to see victory in it, defeat in it, all of it, because I needed to understand for me, what is it theologically we can stand on truthfully, honestly, and do? What is it I can have actual faith to believe for? It's all right just praying for the sick, but actually, what do I have faith for? What can I do? All these different lessons I've had to learn. And so what I'm going to share with you, as quickly as I can, is just 4 things I've learned over this last year. Here's the truth, okay? What I'm talking about here is going to be a big part of this move of God. It's not going to be, let's all go out treasure hunting one day a week. You understand what I'm saying? This is going to become a lifestyle for a lot of us. Jesus lived this every day. He didn't just pick a day and go and do it. You know that, don't you? Jesus didn't say, all right, on Friday, I'm going to give God every Friday, I'm going to go into the town. As awesome as it is, by the way, I'm not knocking these things, all right? I'm really not. But there's something more for us as a church, is what I'm trying to say. And I know that because I know God's telling me there's something more for me. And if I'm a leader in this church and I'm carrying something for this church, you understand that? It's not just for me, this. It's not just for me to have something and go and do all this stuff and love it. It's not about that. One thing I'm learning about leadership is it's not just about me anymore. It's what God's brought me through is what you can sow in, what you can impart, what you can bring. You know, there's people who are going to be hungry for this in this church. There's people who need it out there. Christianity, when it first started, was known as that religion which is gossiped about, which takes our wives and our children. It's because people were talking every day. The women, actually, not the men, mostly the women in the marketplaces and all that stuff. Often we see it's the men. It wasn't. It was the women nattering on with other women like you do, you know. Men are like that these days, but you know what I'm saying? It spread through all of that stuff. The men were proclaiming on the streets they were, but the women were in everybody's lives, and that's what it was known about. This religion that takes our wives and children. That's what it was. Through all this stuff, what I'm on about, it's just normal. Anyway, I'm rabbiting on. So the first thing I had to learn was this. It's not about me. It's not about me. All my life, as I've been a Christian and tried to do all this stuff, it was about me. When I wanted to see someone healed, it was about me. I didn't want to see someone healed because I wanted them healed. It's the truth. I wanted to see it, but not because I gave a damn about them. Partly I wanted to see it to know that God loved me. I wanted to see that God was telling me I'm in. I used to see things through like a gang mentality. And I used to believe that if God used me to heal the sick or stuff like that, then I was in his gang. And then he wasn't using me, I wasn't in. So my issue was always trying to get in. I want to see it because I want to get in. I want to see it because I want to, I know I'm in then. I want to see the power stuff. Because I want some glory, you know. People to recognize me and all that. It's the truth, isn't it? I want people to acknowledge me. And it's all that. It's all orphan issues and stuff in my heart and rejection and being unseen and wanting to be seen. It's all that stuff. But I had to work through all of that. It wasn't about me. A whole of 2 years ago, I had 6 or 7 months of literally praying every day. Lord, help me to love. Help me to see. What's love? How do I love people? How do I have eyes of love to see love? I mean, I really learned what love was. I preach on it all the time now. Love in encouragement, in words, in action, in time, in these love languages and all this stuff. Because I got it in my heart. That's how I work, see. I'll see something here, but I'll have to break it all apart to understand it fully and I can put it back in me. But when it's in, it's in. And so I had to learn it all. Do you know what? The truth is this. If I go now and pray for somebody, it's not about me. It's not where I can say, how cool am I? Or I just want to see the healing and let's get it on camera. And, you know, it's nothing to do with me now. I know that now. It's about them. It's about the fact this person's in pain and they need healing. About the fact this person's got a wife or a husband or family or whatever. And they need what I bring, which is freedom, Jesus, whatever it is. It's about that connection between them and him. I'm just like that little wire fuse in the middle. You know the big power cables that go across this nation carry hundreds of thousands of volts, don't they? They come down into our house, into the plug sockets, and a little tiny fuse can either carry that current or blow it completely. Essentially, that's all I'm doing. I've had to learn that's all my place, is to just do that, in a sense, so I can be that. Can that point to that point. You know, it is all about him. The greatest thing that emphasises this for me is Shireen, actually, who sat there right now. The end of this process for me, about loving other people, was this. One day I was stood in St. Mary's. It's the first time you'd come to church. And as I stood at the front, I turned around and I looked at her. And the Holy Spirit gave me a word for her. And at that moment, I was about to get up and do the big show. That's what I was about to do. Just got a word for you there in the black. You know, there, it's for you. I was going to do that. And that's when the Lord said to me, is that love? Is that love doing that? Or is it love to go there secretly so no one knows what you're doing? To talk to her, to share what I've got to get so you get no glory for it at all? Is that love? So that's what I did. And then that was the first time I'd probably done that way, which was put you before me. You know what I'm saying? And I'm only sharing you that tonight because it's relevant. I'm just kind of contradicting myself on it. But listen, I'm going to go on a bit extra. Is that all right? But yeah. The reality is, I haven't got a massive activation, if I'm honest. But that was that lesson for me there. It's not about me. And it isn't, you know. It's about them. It's about him. It's about that connection. It's about what he died for, he came for, he sends us for. It's all about them. And that's it. I had a story, should I tell it you, where I showed off and got it completely wrong. Because this is a lesson for us to learn. Was about my absolute arrogance. And it was arrogance, I think. At the point where I just started getting all this stuff and people had started getting healed, we went to Wales to Stella's nanas and granddads. And we went to their grandsons next door. And when I'm in that house, and I'd seen some people getting healed now, this is what I'm on about. And all of a sudden in my head, it's like I was the big cheese. God's using me. And this woman said, oh, I'm getting an operation in January for my knee. She had arthritis on her knees. I'd seen people's knees getting healed. So all of a sudden, I think right now, this is the way. Because understand my heart in this, okay? I knew healing was a way for me to tell people about Jesus. That was always my heart right at the beginning. I want these people to know my Jesus. How do I do that? Anything I can use to get them to know Jesus, I'll use it. So it was always about them. But in the middle, I was in the middle of it all, you know. And God was teaching me about this heart, my love. You know, this journey I went, it was my heart journey. But I said to this woman, can I pray for you? Stella was like, huh? And you know, when you say, can I pray for you? People presume you're going to put them on a little list, don't they? To do, don't they? He's going to put me on a prayer list. And they're going to pray for me. Can I pray for you? Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, it's over. I said, which knee is it? She went, oh, it's this one. I said, listen, let's pray for two new knees then. Pray for her. Any pain there? Yeah, there is. Like, now it happened, you know. Stella had walked out, embarrassed. It was just a bad experience, you know. It was, you know, God will use it. He will, you know, he will. But I was just like, oh, my word, what have I done? But you, what, you know, you learn. So don't be arrogant. Don't dishonor God, because he won't let you get away with it. And he didn't let me get away with it. So just be humble. It's just the thing. The next thing is fear. You know, this is the big one. Fear of doing it. I want to tell you the truth. This is the truth. Jesus is here tonight, and every single one of you in this room can leave this place different to what you came in. Who needs healing right now? Come in the front. Bang, bang, bang. Can I tell you the truth? That's easy. It's easy. It's not hard to do that. Because you know God's here. This place is full of faith. You're not riding on your own stuff. You know, because you've seen it. You've got your brothers there. You've got brothers there who are backing you up. It's like a team army thing. And it's God, and you know God's in it. Going out of this door, all of a sudden, you walk out of that door. You see a guy on crutches, and even though you've just seen someone getting healed here, you walk past him and not mention anything about God or his power. It's all of a sudden like the God of amazing grace doesn't exist in that car park. The God, and I'm talking about myself here, guys, not you. The God who I've just seen do all this stuff, who I proclaim can change your life right now. Bang, bang, bang. I get out there. Where's he gone? Where have I gone? That's reality, isn't it? He's not gone anywhere. But where have I gone? That's the question. I've got Jesus in this little box in here. Or wherever it's safe. So where do I take him out? And what stops that? Well, it's fear. Fear, the first thing is, it was about me. Again, self in the way. What about when I stop people in the street and I go to talk to them and I become an inconvenience to this person who's trying to get on with their daily life? And I'm stopping her and I'm saying, excuse me, can I talk to you and all that? It's awkward, it's weird. I'm just inconveniencing somebody. That's fearful. I don't want to waste someone's time. I want to be nice. You know what I'm saying? And it's scary then. I don't want to kind of stop someone doing what they're doing. And so, you know what? Taking someone's time is scary. But I remember this salesman coming to our house. He's talking to me. And in the end, I've like dragged him in my house. Because I didn't care about the time. And told him about God and about Jesus and all that stuff. But what I'm saying is, time is something they've only got a little bit of. You know what? The inconvenience bit is about us. So you need to get over that fear by getting over yourself. The second thing fearful I found was words. Rejection from them. What will they say to me? Oh, shut up, you idiot. Or whatever. Shut up, you divvy. What people say to me, that matter to me. I don't want to be embarrassment. I don't want to be, you know, talked of like I'm a fool. But again, it's about me, you understand? You see how this works? It's about me again. So you have to overcome that. You have to overcome that rejection and those issues. And the last thing, which was the biggest thing for me, was what if I pray and nothing happens? Man, this was the killer for me. This is what happened in that wheelchair. Then all of a sudden, I've got Chris here who's got some bad experience with God, or he doesn't believe in God. And I come up full of confidence. God can heal your leg, brother. Can I pray for you? Bang, nothing happens. Pray, bang, nothing happens. Oh, well, God loves you, mate. And I walk off. And he walks off thinking, idiot. I told him there's no God. It's obvious there's no God because I'm still not healed. That was my biggest fear. That's why it knocked me out for months when that guy with a wheelchair thing. Because I thought I was being a bad witness. And I thought, you know, if I do this and nothing happens, I'm going to turn people even more away from God than if I just keep my mouth shut. Do you understand what I mean? But Stella's granddad, and Vicky's granddad, said something to me last week, which really helped me. I felt the Lord say, ask him. He used to pray for the sick 60 years ago on the street. I said, tell me about when you used to do it, brother. And he said some stuff. You've got to listen to the Lord, see. But then he said, you know what? It came a point where God said to me, you might not see people healed, but you don't understand the impact that's had on that person deep down inside. That's all I needed to hear, see. Fear was gone. So you know what? Don't be afraid of being a bad witness. Here's the truth. If you've got the... This person's got the courage of the convictions. He speaks volumes. And also, in terms of the power of God, just a quick thing, in terms of that fuse and all that stuff, their darkness, we're light. So see it this way. One touch, one word, one thing, it just backs the devil up a little bit in their life. A bit of light comes where there wasn't before. Different things happen. So just keep doing it. So fear. The only way we overcome fear is to do it, is to do the thing we're scared of doing. I had massive anxiety. I couldn't go to sleep on a night. I would stay up all night till I got really tired. And in the end, I was reading Isaiah, you know, oh, Jacob, you little worm, and all this stuff. But there came a point where I had to go to bed. And so I had to attack my fear as a Christian. And so I had to turn a light off and walk up my stairs and go in my bed. And every night, I'd go to sleep. It'd take ages to go to sleep. I'd wake up and all this stuff because of stuff that had been brought into my life. But you know what? The only way I got healed from all that was by attacking it. Attacking it in a sense with faith. And doing, I suppose, what I was scared to do. So listen, over the last couple of weeks, doing this, stepping out again, I've seen some stuff. I've started seeing some stuff. It's like God said, I'm with you. And to encourage me, and he has. I prayed for a guy called Jimmy in Billingham. Again, seeing him. Should I talk to him or what? I just wait. You hang about. You look weird, but what do? You wait. Hey, mate, you all right? What's happened? Yeah. Can I pray for you? Yeah, all right. See you later. Bless you, mate. You know, another old guy, whatever. But I'm just trying to get my courage back up after this wheelchair defeat. You understand what I'm saying here? But then it came out of church last week. Karen, she had osteoporosis, massive pain in her hip. Prayed for her. Healed, a man prayed for her, completely gone. And then literally in terms of this, Laura, I prayed for Laura on Sunday. And it's not all about me, all right? But I want to mention it because I want to talk about God's goodness here a minute. I'm coming from a place of absolute defeat in all of this. Knowing I'm going to do this talk, you need some testimonies. You understand that? I couldn't stand here and talk to you lot tonight about doing this and all of that stuff if I don't do it. I'm an absolute 100% believer that if you need to practice what you preach. Do you know what I'm saying? And if I'm not doing it, I'm not carrying it, I've got no right to talk to you about it, really. And so, last week, I thought, I'll pray for a foot, and I didn't. And Sunday, I saw a foot, and I thought, do you know what? And I knew, it's the Lord this, I knew that foot shouldn't be like that. Look, can we pray for you? I mean, you guys were there, weren't you? Can we pray for you, Laura? Yeah. Oh, you know what, just do it, pray for her. Any better? No. She said, no. I was like, oh, no. Let's pray again. Any better? No. You could tell she wanted it to be, you know. And then I said, is it painful? Oh, it's painful when I stand up. So I said, you know what, stand up then. Just stand up. Painful, pray for it. Listen, it went. She said, do you want me to take the thing off? I didn't say that. She said it, should I take the boot off? Yeah, go on then. Pray for it. It was gone. But that's when she said there was a bone. It's all gone. I got Stella to text her tonight, you know, just to see, is it still okay? She said it's sort of, there's still a bit of pain. So I told her just to pray, just reject that, you know. But her mum's blessed by it. I'm not saying that about me. I'm just saying it's God encouraging me. When I'm talking to you tonight, where I'm talking to you from, stood right here, is as a person, a brother In this process right now, what I'm talking to you about, I'm living it right now. I'm trying to do it right now. I'm not talking to someone who's seen it all and done it all. I'm talking about someone who's in the midst of trying it and stepping out in it. You understand that? You get that? So that's why I'm trying to share that. Okay, so right now, Bonky said, when someone asked him a question, what do you do if you pray for 100 people and they don't get healed? And Reinhard said, pray for the 101st person like all 100 were healed. So what does mean is have the same faith no matter what. John Wimber prayed for 500 people personally before he saw one healing. I prayed for 7 years for people before I saw one healing. And Todd White, 200 people, something like that. So what I'm saying is you often see nothing, but then you see something. God's often doing things in us first. So that's awesome. Okay, faith, very quickly. Show me your faith without works, I'll show you my faith. You understand that scripture in James, yeah? So works. So we need to do it. You know, faith. Like I said, I read about Wimber. I read about Todd. I read all these books. I did all this stuff. And my faith tank was absolutely full. But there was just no action in my life at all. You know, Reinhard says it's like a train. The train stokes up. It builds with steam. It's literally full of steam, and that steam can do one of two things. It can pull the cord and the whistle sounds, or the driver can put it in gear and it'll move that big, massive train forward. What I was doing was just blowing the whistle. I was talking the talk all day at home. I'm going to go out and do this, Stella. I'm going to do that, Stella. I think we should just do this. Do you know what's awesome? We could just do this, love. We can do that, love. And I think in the end, she's like, shut up, you know. Just do something. I mean, she didn't say that. She loved me too much. But I knew in the end. Oh, did she? And I just thought, you know what? I'm talking a lot of talk. I'm not doing anything. I'm just talking. I mean, this is in the midst of that defeat now I'm talking about. I'm watching. I need to get my faith built up. I need to build my faith up. I need to build my faith up. I've seen people healed all over the streets. I'm watching it. I'm reading it. I'm doing it all the time. Feed me. I need more faith. I was so defeated. I was so battered. I need more faith. I need more. Do you understand what I'm saying? I was trying to build myself up to release myself. But the reality was, it's just a step. It's literally just put it in gear and do it. You know, just do it. Which is what I wasn't doing, you know, because of all the other stuff. Like I said, I was battered. All of that stuff. I'm in Tesco's. This man walks past me. And honestly, he was in pain. He was about 50 odd. He was walking so slowly, and I mean really slowly, and my heart was out, and I saw him, and I knew he was going to get healed. I knew it, but I let him walk past me, and he walked past me, and I stood watching him, and I was trying to get the courage to go and pray for him, but I couldn't, because I was so battered, and all the time this man's in a wheelchair, that was a waste of time. In my head, like a voice, oh, and I didn't do it. And you know what? I want to see him again, and I will pray for him this time. I know I am. But what I'm saying is that I had to work myself up, the faith, all the time. And then I'm in Spain. How do I understand faith? What is faith? I'm in Spain, doing Spanish things, and all of a sudden God talks to me about faith, about belief, about seeing it. You know, seeing it, seeing the miracle, see the healing, see the stuff. You know the story, that woman gets healed of sciatica, all that, she's running around the church. But you know what, this was God sowing something into me again. So it was in, you know. You know that bit where he comes off the Mount of Transfiguration and they said, we've prayed for this man and your disciples have prayed for him, he's not healed. And he says, Jesus, pray for him. Please heal him, you know. I believe you can heal him. You know, can you heal him? And then Jesus said, if you can, anything's possible to those who believe. You know that story? And the man says, I believe. Forgive my unbelief. I've heard that preached hundreds of times, or maybe not hundreds, but a lot. And all the time, the emphasis is on that man. I believe. Forgive my unbelief. So we often pray, I believe, Jesus, you can do this. Forgive my unbelief. I tell you, as I read that morning, God said to me, he's not even talking about the man. He was talking about himself. If you read it, it says, if you can, ? So here's how it sounded. If you can. You hear that? If you can, everything is possible to him who believes. Jesus was talking about himself. He wasn't talking about the man. He was talking about him. And what he was saying was, I believe it's possible So therefore, it's possible. And that's what God showed me. It's not about their faith. It's not about them. It's not about what they believe. It's about you. And it's about what you believe and your faith. Believe it. See it. See it. Pray for it. Believe for it. Believe in impossible. Believe. Do you know what? If you don't see it, keep believing. Keep believing. That's how you have faith. You just do it. And so that's what I did. If I can, everything's possible to him who believes. So you know what? Let's stop getting crushed by a gram of doubt when we stood on this mountain of faith. Faith simple. Simple. Go and do it and leave it to him. And so, fourthly, is the theology. What do we stand on? Listen, if you read Acts 1 to 4, all right? I've got some stuff highlighted here, but this is how God spoke to me about being a witness, all right? How do I have authority, theologically, to be a witness? All these people who are on the street seem to understand something about the word of God, that when they go and do it, they seem to be so solid, so sure, so confident. When I'm like a quivering wreck, why? Well, it's because they stood on something I'm not. What is it? And so I'm reading. I felt the Lord saying to me a couple of weeks ago, read Acts, read Acts. You know, you obey God's voice instantly. Read Acts. Yeah, I think I might have a look at Ephesians. Yeah. All that. I'm going to go through this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to read this thing. Read Acts. Just a little voice, you know. I'm going to have a look at Acts. I'm going to just listen to that voice and do it. And as I did, bang, God just speaking to me. So here's what he said, right? Chapter 1. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering. I'm going to read very fast. By many proofs appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from that. So when they'd come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons. It's fixed by God's authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea. So basically, you know what happens. They go to this room. They're praying together. Then they say, let's pray. Let's get someone to replace Judas. And so this is what this says. Peter says then, so one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these men must become with us a witness to his resurrection. And so they stood there on the day of Pentecost. As you know, the Holy Spirit comes. They're in this room. They're trapped. They're stuck. Bang, the power of God comes. The fire of God comes. And then they're out. Doors open. Boom, 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 boom. We know the story. 3,000 people are added to the number that day. Things start going on for them. They're all over the place. Stuff's going on. God's moving all over the place. Then in Acts 2, verse 32, as Peter's finishing, he's saying this, Jesus, God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. And then, chapter 3, when the lame beggar's healed, Peter says, you denied the Holy One and Righteous One and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. You killed the author of life, who God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see. And the faith that is through Jesus has given this man perfect health in the presence of you all. And guys, lastly, they say at the end after they've been released, for truly in this city they were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed both Herod and Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed for the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they'd prayed, the place was filled, as we know, with shaking and all of that other stuff. So basically, theologically, what do we stand on? What do we stand on? Well, it's this. If you look at those couple of things, here's the reality. Jesus said, you'll be filled with power so you can witness. You'll get power so you can witness. They stood in a room, and imagine being in a church, talking about witnessing, talking about going on the streets, talking about all the stuff, just like I was in my house in Billingham, talking the talk, 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 but doing nout. And then the Holy Spirit comes, bang, and all of a sudden they're gone. They go, and as they go, he's there in power. And then that's what they're saying, as they go, his power. What they're witnessing. But power to witness what? That he's resurrected, that he's alive. That's it. Jesus is alive. So because he's alive, what? You can be healed. Bang. He's alive. So what? There's hope. Bang. He's alive. So it says bang. It's all that. Jesus is alive. So the Holy Spirit is given us so we can have power when we witness. He says there, right at the end, that last thing, as they're praying, as we speak boldly, your hand is outstretched to perform healings and signs and wonders through the name of Jesus. So theologically, what do we stand on? We stand on Jesus. Stand on him. When we pray for people now, that's what we stand on. So we go and do. Go and do what? Well, we just do what he did. Jesus said, follow me. He went about doing good, healing people, doing all this stuff. So we just follow him. When Martin said, who needs healing right now? And people got healed. And I went to Redcar and I said, who needs healing now? Who's that? I was just following him. I was following what he did. I just copied him. So Jesus is just saying, you know what? Copy me. He's the best Christian that's ever lived. He is. He gave us the perfect example of how we should live our lives. So if we copy Jesus in our lifestyle, and I mean the secret stuff, the way he walked and all of that stuff, then I'm telling you, we can copy him in the actions too. It just means keeping on going. Because initially, we're going to see all the stuff. If there's processes and stuff in us, so just do it. Is that okay? Is that clear? Sorry, I'm trying to rush to quit now, get this done, because I don't want to waste your time. But so basically go, you know, go because we should be gone. Get out of the box, get Jesus out of the box. You know, make Jesus king of Morrison's, Tesco's, wherever we are, wherever we're at. Let's bring Jesus, our Jesus, into people's lives as we're led. You know, signs open up people to Jesus, they do. When we were in London, I walked past this guy, straight away I thought he's suicidal. I walked past him because it takes courage. If any of you are doing this right now, you'll understand what I mean. But initially, you hear it, oh, and then you've got to build your courage up. Oh, right, I'll go back. Guys, I'll see you later. I was thinking about this the other day, and Martin and Ian are like, yeah, see you later, mate. What's up? But I ran back, said to this guy, hey, mate, how are you doing? I'm a Christian. Are you suicidal? I mean, you can't. Sometimes I'm, yeah, bang, I'm praying for him, and then I'm talking to him, I'm talking about God, talking about the Lord as quick as I can, giving my testimony. I was in jail, mate. I just asked Jesus to come in my life, save me, change me, he did. So all the time I had, but I was gone. But what I'm saying is that initial word of knowledge, that initial thing opened him up to hear about Jesus. So you know what? That's what it's for. And like I said, Wimber 500 people, Todd 200 people, me 7 years. Do you know what? It's got nothing to do with any of us. It's all about him though. You know, it's literally about him. There's no formula. There's no formula to copy. I've just decided tonight I'm literally not watching any videos anymore because it's not doing me any good at all. You know why? It's because I'm not them. They're all doing things, and you know what? They're not right because they're not me. Stella said to me tonight, you can't talk to someone about watching stuff on God Channel. It's not relevant for them when you sat watching that yourself. Thought you're right. It's just damaged me. And it has damaged me. It's the truth. I thought it was helping me and it wasn't. It was just stopping me doing it. So you know what? Here's the truth. It's better. It's good to watch. But it's better to just do it. So just start doing it. You know, let's do it. Oh, Rabba Shikandariyama, so... So, you know what? Just be you. Just be yourself. You know, it's about Jesus and what he's done for them. As I said, he's given us the power to be witnesses like Peter did. Money and, you know, silver and gold have not, but in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. You know, it's like the power has given us that power to do the same thing. So we can become naturally supernatural, basically. Margaret Ruddock walks into a bank. Here's the reality of what I'm talking about right now, okay? This is what really encouraged me years ago about this. Margaret walks into a bank. There's a woman there with a bandage around her hand. She's hurt her thumb and something else. So Margaret's, oh, yeah, what if you've done it to your hand, you know? You know how she speaks. What if you've done it to your hand? Damage? Oh, I've really hurt it yesterday and all that. Oh, yeah, can I pray for your hand? Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. Oh, no, she said, I'm going to go outside. I'm going to meet my husband. I'm going to pray for your hand. Okay, cool. All right, we'll pray for you. She went outside. They prayed for the hand. The next day, she was back in the bank. The woman said, oh, there you are. I've been waiting to see you. Anyway, this hand was healed, but she knew she connected it to her. This is what I'm talking about, being naturally supernatural. It's not all the stuff. It's just doing little bits where we can. As God leads, what you have a measure of faith for. You might not have a faith for a guy to get out of a wheelchair. You understand that? Don't pray for him then. I've learned it. It's stupid. Pray for what you've got faith for. I've seen someone in Barnard Castle on a bus stop get healed of sciatica. I've got faith for sciatica. If I hear someone say, I've got bad sciatica, me, I'll stop. Yeah, can I pray for you? Bang, because I've got faith for it. I prayed for a woman in a wheelchair the other week in Birmingham. She didn't get healed. But next time I see her, and I do see her a little bit now, I'm going to talk to her and say, do you actually want to be healed? In this nation, we have a sickness culture. The people live in their sickness and the benefits, you see. So it's just being wise, you know. Men of peace and all that, seek them out. So, to finish, what do we do? How do we do it? How do we take all of what we've learned and do something with it? The first thing is just talk to people. Speak to them. Hi there, how are you doing? Notice you're hurting or you're limping or whatever, what's happened? Don't go all gung-ho with, hey, I'm a Christian, because I tell you, they'll shut the door on you straight away. You don't even mention that initially. See who they are. Listen to them. Hear what they've got to say and talk to them. Oh, yes, really. And don't just do what I used to do, which is just pretend to listen so you can pray for them, see them healed. Because I did. Listen to them. Encourage them. Hear them. Oh, yeah, yeah. And then pray for them. And when you pray for them, don't be all religious and weird. Don't go all into all the heavenly hosts and legions of angels and all that. You just freak them out. I mean, remember what you were like before you were saved. If a Christian would have stopped you on the street and started praying for you the way we pray for each other, you'd have run a mile. You'd have been massively embarrassed. I mean, let's have it right. You would. If you stop someone and you talk to them and pray for them, keep your eyes open. You can pray for them and just say, Lord, bless this man, in Jesus' name. So if anyone looks at them, it looks like you're just talking. They're not embarrassed. Very simple. You've learned it last week with Martin. Very simple. Knee, be healed now in Jesus' name. That's all you have to pray. That's all you have to say. Nothing more than that. How is it? Okay, awesome. Can I pray again for you? Yeah. In Jesus' name, be healed. That's it. You're just simple, 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 just like Jesus did. Really simple. You know, be led of the Lord, be real, and be human, basically. And then the last thing is your testimony. Your testimony is your story, and you can incorporate the gospel in it dead quick. I was blind, now I see. We've all got that story, haven't we? We've all got it. Dead quick. This was me. Before Jesus, this is me after him. You know what? You can do what I did and ask him to come into your life, and he'll save you, he'll heal you, forgive you. We're sinners. I mean, you can, it's whatever time you've got. You might have seconds, you might have minutes. But get it in there. Get it in there. Whatever it is, you know. But just make sure you get it in. So talking love and all that stuff. Luke 10, the commission. Go, preach, do all that stuff. We know all these things, don't we? Do we know all this stuff? Do you know that God's told you to go and do this stuff? You're aware of it, yeah? So who's doing it? A couple. So listen, we're at 5:25 past nine, and I've talked a lot longer than what I envisaged, okay? Which I apologise for that. But, you know, Martin said, kind of do it without notes, and mostly I've done that. And I think what the Lord wanted out is out, which is just me stood in front of you as a 38-year-old guy who's heard God, trusted God, who wants to see people saved and healed and changed. And this nation changed, who believes in the absolute 100% proclamation of the gospel. I've seen Wembley filled and all of that, and I believe in it. But I also believe in this. I believe in individual Christians doing what they can, where they can, for who they can. I believe it 100%. I do. I think it's something we're going to carry. It's going to be part of who we are. It's not for an accident. Last year, Keena, Vicky, Siku caught something. A few of us caught it. We were out in the park. We were doing stuff. But it's just festered off. But you know what? It's for a reason. Well, people learn and all that. But trust me, it's not going away. So, who wants to do more of it? Awesome. Tomorrow at 11 o'clock, if you're up for it, I'm going to meet you at the courthouse in Middlesbrough. And we're going to go and pray for the sick. And we're going to go and do everything we've just talked about. And many of you want to come, can come. And here's the reality of it. This is how you put the gear in and go. Here's the truth. We're going to go, and all we're going to do is this. walk about, people who were chilling, sat down. Simple question. Hi, we're just walking about, we're just in town. Just praying for people who've got any pain of the sick. Do you have any pain in your body? Are you sick anywhere? Yeah, I do. Where is it? Can we just pray for you? Is that okay? It's that simple. That's all we're going to do. I'll do the first one. I'm terrified. I'm scared. I am. Listen, I told you the truth. I'm not coming from a place of victory. I'm still wounded, you know. I am. I prayed for two guys in Billingham. I've not seen them healed. I'm in the process at the minute where I'm praying for people. I'm running off in a way. Part of my journey at the moment, what I'm going through, is learning to stop. Is the pain gone? Is it, that's what I'm learning now. But what I'm saying is, we can do this. God's with us. He said he is. He said, go, and I'll be with you. So listen, at 11 o'clock tomorrow, I'll be at the fountain in Middlesbrough. If you want to do this, meet me there. It's that simple. There's no activation tonight. And you know what? I never had one anyway. Because this was going to be it. This was it. Go and pray. And all of that stuff. And there's going to be more opportunities if you're at work and stuff. So don't worry, all right? If you're at work and stuff. This is the beginning of something. You understand that? In Estonia, we're going out for 2 days praying for the sick. Doing all this in Estonia. So it's the beginning of something, all right?